You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate, but you shall be called, my delight is in her, and your land married, for the Lord delights in you. Amen. One of the great joys and privilege of being a priest is to participate in the joining of two lives together in the covenant of marriage. A much anticipated day, emotions often run high, and things don't always go as planned. Before I was ordained, I was often asked to sing at weddings and got referred to a couple who made arrangements with me by phone. When I arrived, I was introduced to the young bride and told where to stand because it was an outdoor wedding in a field. As we gathered around, the bride was escorted by a gentleman I thought to be her grandfather. I sang my heart out to the young couple who stood up at the front. And while I was singing, the officiant started nodding toward the old guy. And I wasn't sure exactly what he was trying to say to me. But when the older gentleman and the young bride stepped up to be blessed by the officiant, to my horror, I realized I had sung my heart out to the bride and the best man. It might have been a good idea for me to meet the bride and groom in person before the wedding day. Nevertheless, I might have figured it out if I had just noticed the signs. I also officiated at a wedding where the bride got the heel of her shoe caught in a heating grate, and pulled the whole darn thing up out of the floor. Luckily, she had the presence of mind to slip out of her shoes and make her way down the aisle. We had a good laugh a little later at the reception. The best laid plans don't keep our humanity from showing up. But this is the exact moment where we really need God's grace. God's covenant of love holds us together, even when we feel like our world is falling apart. Now, this morning's gospel narrative takes place at a wedding in Cana. You must understand that wedding feasts in those days lasted 7 days. The food and wine were signs of God's abundant blessing upon the family. So when the wine ran out, it might have looked like God was running short on blessings. This social embarrassment hardly seems an occasion worthy of Christ's first miracle. And Jesus was a little bit annoyed when his mother was sort of nudging him, they're out of wine. But Jesus quietly responded with extravagant grace, filling ritual water basins that carried 30 to 40 gallons of water and turned it to the finest wine. This was the first sign of divine action through Jesus's ministry. But before we become too literal, we need to see that the story points to deeper meaning, like our spiritual thirst and the bankruptcy of depending on our own resources. This is one of many stories where Jesus meets us where we are and gives us more than we can ask or imagine. God's grace is revealed in the person of Jesus. Yet so often we don't recognize Jesus in our midst, and we certainly don't understand God's timing. We see suffering in the world and we're quick to ask if God's abandoned us or is no longer caring for us. But grace is often mediated through the unexpected and unlikely people in our lives. If we're paying attention, little epiphanies happen to remind us of God's presence in the here and now and God's covenantal grace for us. This was the message of Isaiah to his people in his time as they returned from exile to the plundered and ruined lands of Jerusalem. The harsh reality of living in those desolate lands in those early days left them feeling forsaken and abandoned by God. And Isaiah reminded them of God's promises and the steadfast love God has for each and every one of them. He claimed that covenant relationship and announced their name as God's delight. In God's time, the people of Jerusalem were redeemed, and Isaiah's prophecy was fulfilled. But Isaiah was sent to be a sign to the people of God's abundant and extravagant grace. Many generations later, another prophet in his own time spoke to a people of hope and of encouragement and God's abundant grace for the people that were mired in the darkness of racism and discrimination. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., whom we will celebrate tomorrow nationally, worked tirelessly for the people who didn't feel they had a voice. His practice of nonviolent resistance was directly related to the teachings of Jesus. King was a light in their darkness, a sign of God's covenantal love towards them, for all people, and that God would be there to hold them together even though they felt like their world was falling apart. Many would not recognize the face of Jesus in the words of Martin Luther King, but his work moved the kingdom forward towards God's vision for humanity. In ways big and small, the light of God and the love of God is revealed through our humanity when we take the time to notice. So this morning, I'd like to do something a little different, so don't get worried. I want you to reflect for a moment about God's abundant grace in your life. God's abundant grace given to us here at Holy Cross. And I'd like you, when you think of something, to just share it out loud. Yes, this is dialogical. You can speak. When you think of God's abundant grace in your life, what comes to mind? And like Isaiah, I want you to name it today. Because there are people in this room right now who need the light that you bring through your words, who are discouraged or frustrated by what's going on around them. So take a moment to just reflect on what abundant grace comes to you.
Friends and family who support me.
Friends and family. What else?
For my marriage.
For your marriage.
Family.
Friendships.
Children.
Children and one other over here?
New grandson.
Good health.
Health. Relationships.
I heard deep relationships, and then Mitch, what did you say? Opportunities to help. God's grace in this place. Jennifer?
Humor.
Love it. God's abundant grace.
Peace.
insight.
Healing.
The spirit of delight that comes across in music and art.
That spirit of delight. Yep.
Moms.
Moms. Okay. Randy?
Being inside a shelter from this windy, cold wind.
You betcha. Shelter. Anything else? Yes.
Sisters. Awesome. And where is she? She's in chapel, right? She didn't even get to hear it. Sisters. That's awesome.
Thirteenth Psalm. I'll have to go look it up, Chris.
Oh, the 23rd Psalm. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
AA. Amen. Loving kindness. God's grace is abundant here, in this place, in our world. We just have to stop and notice it. You are all prophets of God's extravagant grace. And we've been given a mission as a church to share the transforming power of God's love. As we hear in the letter from Paul to the Corinthians, we've all been given different gifts to accomplish that mission. Yet we're held together by the same Spirit and that covenant that God has with us in marriage. God's grace is surprising and rarely comes from the places that we expect it, and definitely not on our time frame. So when Mother Mary nudges you in some way that you're being called to action, I hope that you will respond with extravagant grace and say yes. God's love is tangibly present through our actions. In this Epiphany season, I invite each of you to begin this practice if you don't already do it. Start your day by noticing the abundant grace in your life. Frame the experiences of your day with God's covenantal love and ask yourself this question: how can I be a light to other people today? As a community of faith, we are very strong in many ways, and we are equipped to go out and do God's work in the world, take it out from these four walls, so that each of us can be signs of God's grace in a suffering world. I want to share with you one other grace, the ministry of Mary Oliver, who is a poet. I was reminded of this week because she passed away this week, and she is one of those prophets in her own time because she took the ordinary thing and found the sacredness of the ordinary and would point it out and notice it. And I'd like to share one of her poems to end today. She pointed to the light that we often cannot see. This is her poem, The Summer Day. Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean, the one who has flung herself out of the grass, the one who is eating sugar out of my hand, who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down, who is gazing around with her enormous and complicated eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings open and floats away. I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel down in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I've been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at the last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one and precious and wild life? Amen. Amen.